Communion is a wonderful time to reflect on how good God is to us. God is good all the time. Amen? All the time, God is good. You know, as Christians, we're striving to live a Christian life, and we spent a few weeks talking about what is a Christian, what does it mean to be a Christian. Last week we looked at love and challenged ourselves to love others more, to love others deeper. And sometimes, you know, we look around at the harvest, and my family and I, we've been greatly blessed to receive many wonderful products of other people's gardens, and it's been wonderful. But sometimes, if you don't get to that fruit right away, it gets a little overripe, let's say, put it that way, right? And it starts smelling up the kitchen a little bit, right? You guys have all been there. And what happens is, what is pleasant and wonderful and beautiful starts to really stink. And sometimes as Christians, we can get that way too. We can get a little overripe, right? And we see God working in our lives. Sometimes we don't see God working in our lives. And we start to get a little discouraged. Sometimes we'll see God working in our lives, and we'll start to get a little bit uncomfortable because He's putting a little bit of pressure on us to change our behavior to be more like Him. And instead of changing our behavior, we start to stink a little bit. And we start to get a little bit, not so grateful. We start to get a little bit more, kind of a bad attitude, I guess we could probably leave it there. So this morning, I'm going to have the antidote for that. And we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, when we think about these different problems that we have in our life, whether it be discipline for the sins that we've done, because we know God disciplines us, hard times, maybe God's trying to test us in an area where we've been working on, or maybe we just don't quite understand what's happening. Maybe God has a blessing for us, but we have to go through some hard times to get there. But James 1:2 says this, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." Count it all joy. How many people just kind of skip that part? Count it all joy, right? Because we see the progression, right? Because, you know, the trials, they work out patience, you know, and there's a whole progression there. That's, we want to get to the end of that progression, right? But that whole count it all joy thing, that's like, hey, that part wasn't for me. That was for somebody else, right? Because, you know, how do you be joyful in the midst of all these problems? Nehemiah 8:10, we all know that, says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And that was a period of time in when the people had opened up the law and they'd read the law. They were convicted of their sin. And then Nehemiah said, "Go out, be merry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So, how can we have joy in the Lord in the midst of trouble? The first thing I want to point out is that no matter what our situation is, we can have joy in the Lord because we have been reconciled with God. The joy of reconciliation with God. You see, first of all, we need to understand, as Christians, we were once enemies of God. The Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, we were against Him. We were His enemy. Romans 5:10 says this, if you turn in your Bibles real quick. Since therefore, in verse 9, since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. You see, we were enemies with God. We talked a little about this a few weeks ago, how sin is a disease, and God cannot let it into his heaven. And so we were enemies with God, but God loved us so much that he sent his son to die, and he reconciled us through the blood of his son, through the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18 say this, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And Hebrews 9:22 is a verse we're familiar with that says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So God worked through the blood of Christ to bring him to himself. But what does that have to do with my attitude? I don't think you quite understand what that means. You see, how many of you guys have, and for guys, I know this has happened, and I know for the ladies too, but how many times have you driven past a police officer and you look down at your speedometer and you realize, oops, I was going a little bit too fast, right? And the whole time you're looking in the rearview mirror saying, is he going to come get me, right? Is he going to come get me, right? And when he doesn't, you know, for that few minutes, it's panic. It's, oh, what am I going to do? But then once you realize he's not coming after you, what is that? Oh, that's relief. That's happiness, right? Because you're not going to get charged with a $100 speeding ticket. Okay? That's the situation here, okay? We were in big time trouble. We were separated from God. But God made us righteous. He didn't charge us to our account. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteous, righteousness of God. If that isn't exciting, I don't know what is. We just got off the hook, right? We were destined to hell, destined to spend eternity, forever, without God. And God sent his son so that we wouldn't have to pay a dime. We wouldn't have to pay anything toward our sins. We need to be understanding that to get excited about it. Isaiah 12 says, you will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Is your God great this morning? Do you believe in a great God? Shout for joy. Sing for joy. Be excited. Why? Well, I'll give you a couple reasons. One is you're God's. You're God's now. And no one can stand against you. If you're on his side, You're in the clear. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? 1 John 2:1-2, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Have you ever gotten an unbelievable deal? Just you wouldn't even believe it, right? Have you guys ever seen that extreme couponing show on TLC, right? They walk in, they get $1,000 worth of groceries and pay $2, right? Or they get like $50 back, okay? I've never seen that in my life. But I'll tell you this, my mom one time, okay? She went to the store. She had some coupons. And she got like 5 items or 10 items or whatever it was, okay? A lot of them were discounted because they were beat up, right? Microsoft went down 2 points. So can't on the ground. No, okay. So she went in, she put the stuff on the register, and she said, and she gave them her coupons. The lady rang it all up, and it says negative $1 and some cents. And the lady's like, oh, that must have been a mistake. So she did it again, you know, negative $1 and some cents. So she calls over the manager, and the manager rings it up, and it's negative $1 and some cents. And the manager's like, just pay the lady and move on. Okay? But have you ever gotten an unbelievable deal like that? I mean, gas, 99 cents a gallon. I mean, how cool would that be, right? And how many would you go around and tell? Nobody, right? You wouldn't want to share a wonderful opportunity for other people, right? No, you would go around and tell everybody. You'd tell all your loved ones. You'd tell all your family. You'd tell all your friends. And if you were feeling real good, you'd tell the stranger on the street as you passed by, hey, get over there and get that deal. It's a really good deal, right? We have gotten the best deal of a lifetime, and we should be excited about it. We should be giving thanks to God, because even if we mess up, even if we sin, we have an advocate. We have a God in heaven who is working in our lives and who is asking the Father to bless us. He's covering our sins, and he's asking the Father to bless us. It's amazing. How about this? The joy of spending eternity with God. You know, we were talking in Bible study on Thursday about how often when we think of heaven, we think of what it's going to be for me, right? I'm going to have a mansion. I'm going to have a street of gold out in front of my house. I'm going to go scuba diving in the glass in the crystal sea. I'm going to go mountain biking in the mountains, right? We think about how wonderful heaven's going to be for me because I'm not going to be sad anymore. I'm not going to hurt. I'm not going to die. But just think about this. Spending eternity with God Almighty. Spending eternity with a God who loves you, who is all-powerful, all-knowing. Heaven is going to be awesome. Revelation 21 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down. For the words are trustworthy and true. Take it to the bank. God is making all things new. Oh man, it's going to be great. Another exciting thing about heaven is we're going to get to know God even more than we do now. Right? Paul said, right now we see through a glass dimly. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know who He is that they did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we will know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." How awesome will that be? To see God as He is. To be able to go up and feel those scars on Jesus Christ. The scars in His side and the scars in His hand. Right? How awesome is that going to be, to know God and see Him as He is? Well, that is very exciting, but what about for me today? Today I am struggling. I'm working on getting the courage to visit my neighbor. I'm working on getting through this understanding of how do I pay these bills that I don't have the money for. What is God doing for me today? And how can knowing God help me today and give that joy in my life? You see, the joy of having a heavenly Father, to me, is one of the best ones. Because we look forward to eternity. But today, I have a heavenly Father who works in my life. He answers my prayers. One of my favorite chapters of the Bible is Psalms 116. And it starts this way. "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because He has inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live." You see, we have a God who loves us today. He loves us right now. And He answers our prayers. If we have needs, if we have wants, if we have desires, if we have struggles, we can pray and share those with God. And as a heavenly Father, He cares about you. He cares for those same things. Last week we prayed for Katie Williams. She lost her job last Friday. And we prayed for her. Went out on the prayer chain on Saturday. Sunday we prayed at church. Monday she had an interview. And Tuesday she had a job. That doesn't happen in this economy. We got people that have been out of work for years. Okay? We have a heavenly Father who loves us. Don't ever forget that. Don't take advantage of that. Love God. Get excited about who you have, an advocate, a God who loves you. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." God loves us. He is paying attention to those who are obeying His commands. He is working in their lives. Secondly, God gives us gifts. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." God doesn't change. And we know from Sunday school that means He's immutable. Right? He gives us great gifts. Matthew 7:9, "Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask Him?" Our God is awesome. Are you asking Him for wonderful things in your life? Are you praying and asking Him for the things that you want, the desires that you have? Ask Him. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give you a lot of good gifts, and He does. He blesses, I know He blesses our family every single day. And over the years, I tell you what, God has moved in our lives so many times. You know, and sometimes you think, you see, well, that was probably just coincidence, right? But I can tell you, there's so many times in my life that, boy, coincidence doesn't even quite cut it. So many things that God has worked on to give us the blessings that He wants us to have. Third is He watches over us. How cool is that? How cool is that? To have somebody watching over you. You know, when we lived in Kansas City, Missouri, okay, they would do a traffic report at the beginning of the hour because there was traffic all over the place, right? And if a car accident happened and you're on your way to work and you get behind a car accident, I mean, you could be half an hour late to work, right? So what they'd do is they'd have a helicopter driving around the town, looking over the town and saying, hey, watch out for this road. Don't go there. Take this route instead, right? So that way you weren't late to where you're going. We have a God who watches over us too. And He's got better eyes than the helicopter. Psalms 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, for where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this day forth and forevermore. He watches over us. And I bet I could ask you to share, and you would give many examples of how God has watched over you in your life. But I want to move on to my last point here. He is our defender. You know, when you think about struggles that you're having, sometimes you just want somebody else to go to bat for you. And He does that all the time. Psalm 5:11 says, let all those that put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. And let them also that love your name be joyful in you. You know, the founding of our country, there is many, many, many examples of how God is our defender. And I want to share one of them with you this morning. See, on July 9th, 1755, George Washington was in a battle. It was during the French and Indian War, and is probably one of the most significant events of his early life. You see, his life literally hung in the balance for over 2 hours. And this dramatic event helped shape his character and confirm God's call on him. During the two-hour battle, the 23-year-old Colonel Washington had ridden to and fro on the battlefield, delivering the general's orders to other officers and troops. The officers had been a special target for the Indians. Of the 86 British and American officers, 63 were killed during this battle. Washington was the only officer on horseback that was not shot down. Following the battle, Washington wrote a letter to his brother, in which he readily and openly acknowledged, this is what he said, by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. For I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot under me, yet I escaped unhurt. Although death was leveling my companions on every side of me. 15 years later, an old, respected Indian chief sought out Washington. The chief explaining that he had led the Indians against them in the battle 15 years earlier, revealed to Washington what had occurred behind the scenes during that conflict. He said, I called to my young men and said, mark yon tall and daring warrior Washington. Himself is alone exposed. He was the only one left on a horse. Quick, let your aim be certain and he dies. Our rifles were leveled, rifles which but for you had not missed, knew not how to miss. 'Twas all in vain. A power mightier far than we shielded you, seeing you were under the special guardianship of the Great Spirit. We immediately ceased to fire at you. I am come to pay homage to the man who is the particular favorite of heaven and who can never die in battle. You know that can be said of you? That you are a favorite of heaven. God died for you. He is your advocate. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows how many numbers, how many hairs are on your head. Even those who don't have very many, we could probably figure out ourselves, right? God loves you. And he's your advocate. He is your defender. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of being yours. We thank you for the joy of knowing you. We are blessed, Lord, that you thought us worthy to die so that you could spend eternity with us in heaven. We look forward to that day, Lord, but we look forward to this life, living for you in gratefulness and thankfulness and praise things in Jesus' name.